محمد رضا With logic's eye and heart's pure light He navigated truth through day and night With logic's eye and heart's pure light He navigated truth through day and night الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله عز وجل as we are actually commemorating the ultimate services of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala to science. Inshallah Azza wa Jal today, in this episode for our dear viewers of Madani channel, we'll inshallah Azza wa Jal discuss the Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala and his services to mathematical sciences. So there are several things which comes under that. So mathematics is an age-old subject. We all learn maths, we read maths, we teach maths, we want our children to learn, we want them to be good at it. It has lots of advantages. But maths as a subject is massive. There are so many other branches which are covered under that. So that's what inshallah we will try and learn, how the Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala, how beautifully he describes different aspects of, and he uses maths as an example, as an enforcer, as a reinforcer of the deen of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. So let's set the scene. Let's draw the context. So if we look at the universe, if we look at the beauty of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there seems to be this mathematical beauty to his creation. And those who ponder upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who ponder upon, those who contemplate the mysteries of the universe, whoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wishes, he grants, then they are blessed with such insights into the beauties, the mysteries of the universe and the mathematical beauties of that. Let me give you some examples. Look at the mathematical correlations of the different aspects. So look at our atmosphere, for example. So in our atmosphere, we have 21% oxygen. We have 78% nitrogen. And then the remaining 1% that are trace gases. And that includes several things. And there are several theories of science which describe that this 21% of oxygen, the beauty is that if this ratio were to disturb by even minimal, and that's where the theories come in, that if it were to drop by 1%, then the life could cease to exist. And if it were to go up by 1%, then with this theory of entropy, it suggests that the whole world could combust. So there is this mathematical beauty to this equation of gases in our atmosphere. Has that all happened by chance? Could that have happened, this mathematical beauty which we see in our lives, which we see in each and any part of our creation? Inshallah, we will cover some of that in the when we talk about medicine and Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala. Anything we look at around us, there is this mathematical beauty. And then when we speak to scholars, they tell us, look at the beauty of, when we talk about this mathematical beauty, look at the one who has revealed the Holy Quran has four letters in his name, Allah. The one on whom the Quran is revealed has also four letters in his name, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the book which is revealed also has four letters in its name, the Quran. And the language in which that book has been revealed also has four letters in its name, Arabic. Has that all happened by chance? And then if we look at the blessed Quran, and we look at the distribution of the entire Quran,
which has been present since the time of the companions, Ali Ridwan, since the time of Sahaba, Ali Ridwan, those who wanted to finish the Quran in recitation in 7 days. That's why the Quran is split into 7 manzil. And if you look at the 7 manzil of Quran, subhanAllah, the first manzil has 3 surahs in it, excluding the Surah Al-Fatiha. The second manzil has 5 surahs. The third has 7. The fourth has 9. The fifth has 11. The sixth has 13. And the 7th manzil has 65 surahs, which is also a multiple of 13. These odd numbers starting from 3, rising in that mathematical way, could that have all happened by chance? If you look at the Quran, and if you read Quran, and if we compare the words, for example, the word for dunya versus the word for the hereafter, the akhirah, and look at the relationship between those words, how many times it has occurred in the Quran. Or if we look at any of those, the combinations, the zawjain, the pairs which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created, and you count them throughout the Quran, they also have a mathematical relation to them. Allahu Akbar. This is all from this ultimate code of life revealed upon our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And so there are so many other examples which I could share, but if I could use that to just bring our attention to the fact that look at the ulum, look at the subjects, the types, the branches of knowledge which have been accumulated in the Holy Quran, which is indeed a complete code of life, and it has all ulum have been gathered in the blessed Quran. This is all happening with a mathematical equation, with a mathematical beauty. And there are 19 letters in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All of that, they perhaps carry an importance too. And you see, when it comes to how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has helped us commemorate, we look no further than current day and age to our grand shaykh, imam, our Amir Ahlul Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islam, Damat Barakatul Aliyah. Look at, he gives us this, he reminds us that our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read istighfar 70 times. So he asks us to read istighfar every day. Again, bringing this, the maths to it, to have a fixed number. Why do we need to do that? He then talks, when we talk about the abundance of salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're reminded to read it at least 313 times every day. Why do we need to do that? All of these numbers, they have a significance. They carry weight. They mean something. We may not be able to understand, but those who have understood, who have been bestowed by this inspired knowledge, like our Shaykh Amir Ahlul Sunnah Damat Barakatul Ali, we see examples of that in his Madani Muzakara all the time. All of those, we are reminded to read that in this specific, in this set number. Why? Because this is all giving us it is all inspiring us to learn. It is all inspiring us to read. But in a truly, there is a mathematical sense to it. Amir Ahlul Sunnah. And then he uses references to all those key numbers. From maths, from counting, and then and he uses those numbers to do what? He then reminds us, he says that we have this framework of 72 questions which Amir Ahlul Sunnat has given us. It's a memorandum for us. It is a framework for us. And in those 72 questions, why 72? In commemoration of the 72 Ashab of Karbala. He has given us the 72 questions. So there is something to be said for that. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commemorated those numbers. We go for Hajj. We read Salah. We do a Tawaf. We do Sa'i. All of them have fixed numbers. The Salah has fixed number of Raka'ah. We go to Tawaf. We have fixed number of revolutions. We go for Sa'i. We have fixed number. Why fix the number? Why bring that mathematical sense of numbers, of numerology in all our offers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because there is a hidden rahmah, there is hidden mercy, there is hidden nur behind it. And sometimes it is in commemoration of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes it is something which is beyond our understanding. So our job as a believer, as a true lover, our job is to follow the teachings of friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if we follow them, inshallah azza wa jal, they will guide us, they will help us to walk the path of righteousness, inshallah azza wa jal. So I've given you all these examples to help you understand that when it comes to mathematics, there is so much which is hidden, which we don't understand. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, in the Holy Quran, there are so many examples of all of that. So I want to give you some examples from the blessed life of career of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And for that, I want to take the first example I want to take. I've given you examples of numbers. Now I want to give you an example from geometry. Allahu Akbar. So those who have read geometry would know that, so there was a time when we used to have compass and we used to use arcs and these to try and fill in these geometric theorems in our advanced maths maybe, or as part of the standard maths. So geometry, that is an absolute beauty in its when we actually understand that. So this is that geometry. Look at we know of geometry and we think of it as purely as branch of mathematics, a branch of science. Allahu Akbar. But how do you employ that to demonstrate the ultimate respectable maqam, the status of our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. I feel that there perhaps is no other such example as the beauty of the kalam of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala. Let me give you an example from his kalam, how he brings geometry in poetry to describe the beauty of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of ascension, on the night of Mi'raj. So, now quoting here from Hadaik-e-Bakhshis, which is the compendium, that compilation of all the kalam of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So he has written Qasida, and that is Qasida Mi'rajiyah. In that he has written 67 couplets, all demonstrating the beauty of that night, the beauty of the travels, the beauty of the journey of Isra of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every couplet has its own beauty. But I want to focus on the two couplets, and they are in Urdu with lots of words from Arabi. So inshallah, I'll try and help us all. So if you stay with me, inshallah, we'll try and inshallah, we'll decipher what Imam is trying to say. And of course, his mafil zamir, so what he truly meant with these couplets, of course he knows, but we are trying to help understand his ultimate depth of knowledge of geometry and how he uses that. So remember, our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he goes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. So here, the words of the verse are qawsayn. So qaws means, qaws means the semicircle. So the semicircle is qaws. So that's why, for example, the parentheses or brackets in English, in Arabic, they're called qawsayn. So two brackets, so we call them qawsayn, but they are semicircles, so they're half circles. So the word used there is qawsayn. Now, in its interpretation, the mufassirin, the exegetist of the Quran, they have described, and one of those is that if you look at a bow, which is used, so in olden days it was a sort of a military equipment, but this was an equipment for protection as well. So a bow and an arrow. And that's, I'm sure, my dear viewers of Madani channel, we would know that that if you use that bow, which has a string, to make it a bow, and again, if you look at a bow, it looks like a semicircle. So the distance was qaba qawsayn, so the distance of two bows, au adhana, or even less than that. Now, this is rather an abstract concept, and so many mufassirin have described in their own, so based on their understanding, they've described the beauty of that proximity of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using that qawsain. But remember, if you have two semicircles, you bring them together, then if you bring the two semicircles together, then it makes a whole circle. Two semicircles joined make a whole circle. And if you look at circle in geometry, it is one of those most abstract phenomena of geometry that, unlike a line, for example, or a different shape, which we teach our children, so triangle, rectangle, parallelogram, rhomboid, all these different shapes. But the beauty of a circle is that if you look at the circle and what the mathematics teaches us, that a circle would have innumerable points. A circle would have innumerable points. If you want to calculate either the circumference of a circle or you want to calculate the diameter of the circle, you have to use the constant. And the formula for that, whether you're using it to measure the circumference, 2 pi r, or using diameter pi r square, the r stands for radius, and the pi is that famous pi which we use in mathematics, and that is 22 divided by 7. So it is that mathematical constant, which is, so this is what we need to use to measure the diameter or the circumference of the circle. So now this is all the theorems of geometry describing how unique circle is, that it has innumerable points, they are unmeasurable, the number of points you can have. And if you have any line going through the circle, unless it goes through the center of the circle, the two lines, you can have lines in the circle from innumerable points, you can have lines which never meet unless they go through the center of the circle. Yeah. So I hope you can understand all these geometrical concepts about the circle and the lines. And then there are lines which touch the circumference of the circle, and they are called tangential lines. And then there are lines which, if the lines meet each other, then they are, so the lines when we talk about in Arabic, the line is called khat. So khat means line. Khutut is the plural of line, so that lines. And then those lines which meet each other, so meeting is called wasl. So the lines which meet, they are called khutute wasil, the lines which are meeting. And the lines which don't meet, then there is a fasil, there are distance between them, that is called khutute fasil. So khutute fasil, the lines which don't meet, khutute wasil, the lines which do meet. And then the circumference of the circle, which is muhit in Arabic, and then center of the circle, which is markaz. So now look at the beauty that when it comes to describing the qawsain of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word used is qawsain, two semicircles. If they were to join, they would make a circle. Now Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala is giving example from geometry to help us understand, or rather in explain the how abstract this concept is, that this is beyond our understanding. So look at the beauty of this couplet and see how beautifully he brings geometry to explain it. He says, muhit o markaz mein farq mushkil, between the circumference and the center. Now the two semicircles are so close that where is the circumference, where is the center? There is the differentiation seems to be losing. We can't differentiate between the two. So he says, muhit o markaz mein farq mushkil, the difference we can't understand. Rahe na fasil khutut e wasil, that those lines which were separate, they are now joining. But remember that those lines, they are, whether they're khutut e fasil or wasil, Imam says, rahe na fasil khutut e wasil. So of course, the proximity, the closeness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one has ever attained that. No one will ever attain it. So there is this element of wasl, there is element of meeting. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator and creation, they are matchless. There is no match between them. So Imam says, bringing this most abstract phenomenon, the abstract concept, he is using the most abstract example from geometry. He says, Muhit o markaz mein fark mushkil, rahe na fasil khutoot e wasil, kamane, the bows, kamane hairat mein sar jhukaye, ajeeb chakkar mein daire the. So the daira is circle, chakkar, the movement of that circle, and then hairat means in complete awe. So Imam says, kamane hairat mein sar jhukaye, ajeeb chakkar mein daire the. So he's brought this concept of pi, that unless you have a pi, you're unable to measure the circumference, are unable to measure the diameter, of course, then you can't measure those lines. So Imam says, you can't even measure the circumference without taking help from a constant of the circle, of a pi. And Imam says, if you can't understand that, then how could you understand those two semicircles coming together? This is the limit of the human understanding. So Imam says, Muhit o markaz mein fark mushkil, rahe na fasil khutoot e wasil, kamane hairat mein sar jhukaye, ajeeb chakkar mein daire the. In the second couplet, in the same qasida, again taking example from this geometry, the most abstract concept of geometry, as I said about this, the innumerable points. So basically, you can put a point anywhere in the circumference of the circle, and you can measure innumerable points, but there will be no limit to it. That's what science says. That's what geometry says. So Imam says that, so in a sense, these points, they are rather abstract. In one sense, they are unfathomable. Are they really fake? Do they exist? What do those points mean? The geometry is unable to explain it to us. So Imam says that if you're trying to work out how many points there are on the circle, the two semicircles are coming together, how many points could there be? Where could the relation of that distance, relation of that of the proximity would be? So Imam says, kamane imkaan ke jhoote nukto, tum awwal aakhir ke pher mein ho. Where is the beginning? Where is the end? Where does the circle start? Where does the circle finish? Is it a constant circle? All these concepts of geometry, Imam is saying that these are all rather incomprehensible, rather unfathomable. So Imam says, come on, so that the bow, the semicircle with all the points coming together, but still you don't know where the beginning, where the end. And Imam says, kamane imkaan ke jhoote nukto, tum av nukta is point, kamane imkaan ke jhoote nukto, tum avval akhir ke pher mein ho, muhit ki chaal se to poochho, the circumference, ask the circumference, where does it start, where does it end, does it go clockwise, does it go anti-clockwise, how do you even define? He says, muhit ki chaal se to poochho, kidhar se aaye, kidhar gaye the. You can't explain. Where did it start? Where did it end? So how could you explain the proximity of our beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That how did he arrive? How close did he get? What discussion happened? All of that, this is beyond our, we only know what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has told us. And beyond that, we cannot understand. So he says, when you can't even explain it to me in geometrical terms, then how could we even explain the most abstract of concepts which only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are aware. No one was there. No one was there to give us the commentary, to give us the narration. But look at his absolute depth of understanding of most abstract geometrical concept. He brings that together to explain the complexity of that, to describe even a more complex meeting. And he says, kamane imkaan ke jhoote nukto, tum awwal aakhir ke pher mein ho, muhit ki chaal se to poochho, kidhar se aaye, kidhar gaye the. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That's our Imam. That's his grasp of geometry. Branch of mathematical science, uses that in the most magnificent of manners to try to describe that if we can't understand this, we can't understand the mysteries of the journey, the mysteries of the proximity of that distance between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Madani Channel. Look at how beautiful, how fabulously Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala, he helps the ummah to develop, to enhance their love, to inculcate the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their hearts. And he uses any form of science, any form of knowledge, which will help to demonstrate a different facet, a different aspect of the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be present in an abstract manner, to be present in a practical fashion, whatever form it might be. That's down to Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala and his love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his love for the teachings of the deen, that he demonstrates all of that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So we've been talking about his services to mathematical sciences. So I want to share a couple of other examples. And then inshallah Azza wa Jal we'll conclude. That if we look at, so one of the great aspects of this is around, as I was talking about the numeracy, as we're talking about the numerology. One of the things, and this again, if everyone may be able to relate to it, but inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you will still try. And those who, I was seeing a patient today, and they were discussing that as they're getting older, they're perhaps their memory is not as strong. And there is the scientific evidence suggests that in order to improve memory, in order to delay perhaps or avert, if possible, the onset of dementia, which is a condition where one loses memory, and that can have grave consequences. So there is a lot of effort which is going into to finding a cure or treatment for dementia. So let me so the people who may have dementia, or perhaps who want to enhance their acuity of the brain, the processing, the thought process, we usually advise them to challenge their brains with exercises. And one of those exercises are word puzzles. Some of those exercises are, some of you, my Madani Channel viewers may know, is something called Sudoku. And that is, and these are different types of puzzles which help people understand. So those who know, so Sudoku, for example, they would know that sometimes there are various ways to get to an answer. However, the broader your knowledge is, the broader your understanding is, the more ways you would know to get to the answer. So if we use that as an example, and then think about when someone has actually needs to write a ta'weez. So one has to write something which potentially through a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it can, by the shifa which is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can become a cure for someone. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, one of the great favors upon the ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Amir Ahl-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, Damat Barakatum wa Aliyah, has done, is to make the ta'weezat so accessible that wherever you are, you can, if you are struggling with any problem in with your life, be it physical, spiritual, medical, then alhamdulillah, there are stalls of Dawat Islami, which there are brothers trained through Dawat Islami who can provide those ta'weez. Now, those who write ta'weez would know, and those who have understanding of this branch of mathematical science, and again, this is a knowledge which is becoming quite quickly, it was at risk of becoming obsolete, but alhamdulillah, Amir al-Sunnah and others have kept it alive. So one of those is that, as I mentioned, is that how could you write that particular ta'weez, and there are several ways to write it. Now, in order to write one thing, how many different ways could one write? You know, so if you have a piece of paper and you have to write something, how many different ways one could think of writing it? So there was a person who came to one of the khulafa, to one of the appointees or deputies of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and he's known as Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. He is the one who has written one of the most detailed biographies of Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, the life of Ala Hazrat, Hayati Ala Hazrat, available in two volumes from Dawat Islami's Maktaba, the Dawat Islami's Publishing Institute. You can also download it from Dawat Islami's website. So he says that a person came and he rather pompously said that, you know, I can write this particular frame, I can write this particular incantation in 16 different ways. And he was quite proud of himself that actually there aren't many people who can write one thing in 16 different ways. So he shared that, you know, with that, in that fashion, in that manner, to basically demonstrate how the strength of his knowledge. Allahu Akbar. So Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari rahmatullahi ta'ala said, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of my Shaykh, Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala, the same incantation which you can write in 16 different ways, I can write in 1,152 ways. Allahu Akbar. That's Maulana Zafaruddin Bihari rahmatullahi ta'ala, a trainee, someone who has been taught by Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala. And then he said further, he says, my Imam, my Shaykh, he could write the same incantation in 2,303 different ways. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, even if it was something of your expertise, of your subject, whatever, you know, you, in accounting, for example, in finance, how, let's say, IT experts who write codes for different programs, how many different ways could you write a code for the program? How many different ways could you make accounts for someone, for an organization? How many different ways you could utilize to write on your particular subject? But look at the beauty that Imam Ahmad Azhar rahmatullahi ta'ala, even his students can write it over 1,000 different ways, and he can write in 2,000 different ways. Allahu, but that's the depth of his knowledge. Then if we extend it further, again staying in the subject, and look at one of the great services of the Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala on us has been to translate the and conversion of different units of measurement to the modern times. So some of you may remember, if you go back, this is the imperial system. So before the SI system, System International, came, we had what we call imperial system. So which meant that there were things which we would measure in different measures. So pints, for example, a pint of milk, for example, a pint of blood might be donated. If we look at, we had other examples in that. For example, the distance one would cover. So we still use miles, for example, versus kilometers. The different units of measurement. But now imagine that the ahadith, they talk about the measures. So how do you basically calculate those different units of measure given by our beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and then translate them into modern world? You need in-depth understanding of weights. You need in-depth understanding of measurements. You need that to be able to safely do that. And remember, these are the rulings. So, you know, even a minor error on either side could be detrimental. But this is the incredible knowledge of our Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala, laden with evidence that he, when it comes, so for example, at what point do you decide that this person now fulfills the definition of a shari'i traveler? So a traveler salah, for example, how do you define what's the threshold? At what point would you say? So, for example, the ahadith talked about 3 days distance. Well, what is that 3 days distance? But look at the beauty of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala. He had used that and calculated, and he's provided those calculations to measure that distance. And if you look at Fatawa Radawiya Sharif, he says 57 miles And then next to 57, he has written 3 by 8. 57, 3 by 8. So what does 3 by 8 mean? So those who would know the older measurement system would know that 1 mile has 8 furlongs. 1 mile has 8 furlongs. And this is, you know, this is proverbial furlong. We use furlong. There are English proverbs based on furlong. That is the unit which was used. So look at the precision, the accuracy of Imam's Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's measurement, that he has measured it right to that point that it is not exactly 57 and a half miles, though for practical purposes, that's what we say, but actually it is 57 miles and 3 furlong. Subhanallah. How did he reach that number? The research which has gone behind that, the evidence which has gone behind that, the deduction process which has gone behind that. If we could spend a moment to think about who could do that, that's our grand Imam, Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. So this is how he's calculated that. Then when we come to calculating, and how important that is, that if we are calculating, for example, the threshold for zakat. So, you know, so this is, how do we calculate the threshold for zakat? How do we define that? All of that, the science which has gone behind that, all of that, that come to this incredible knowledge, which Alhamdulillah, Zabadar, our Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala shared with us. So having shared all of these examples with you for mathematical sciences, and what Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has done for the Ummah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what a great service he has provided, how easy he has made it for us to act upon, to apply it in our everyday life, to help fulfill the obligations upon us so that we can gain proximity to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And he has facilitated that. He has helped us achieve that. So the barakah which he is receiving, he has received for that is inexplicable. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, there's so much more which I could share, but if we can take a moment here, if we can pause and think, the last time when we paid our zakat, and Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami collects zakat from the lovers of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to spend it in its right masarif, to spend it in its in the right areas where it should be spent. All the charity which Dawat-e-Islami has done, and you can see the difference it's making to the Ummah. Look at how much Dawat-e-Islami has delivered through all those donations we made. But imagine if we had to pay zakat, but we did not know how. If we did not know how to calculate. If we have to fulfill the obligation of the qasr salah, but how do we know when to do qasr? We have to fulfill the obligation of sadaqatul fitr, but then that is different for raisins, to dates, to barley, to wheat. How would we have calculated all of that? That is all thanks to the incredible services of Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, his grasp of knowledge, his understanding of mathematical principles, and his ability to bring that ancient knowledge in some regards and translating it into modern times, into modern era, to the requirements of the time. That's what Imam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has done for us. Why did he do all of that? To help the Ummah. So that's what I need to, that's where we need to pause and think, what am I doing with all this knowledge? Okay, I couldn't learn this, I couldn't do that, but at least I could be the facilitator, I could be the helper for Dawat-e-Islami. I could use my donations, in the right causes through Dawat-e-Islami. At least then they will help produce the scholars, they will help produce the scholars of tomorrow, they will help produce masajid, they will help produce all these institutions which will help commemorate the services of Imam Ahmad Raza Rahmatullahi Ta'ala until the day of resurrection. So this is what Dawat-e-Islami is doing for us. So I pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that we try and understand what Dawat-e-Islami has done, as Amir al-Sunnat says, this is all faizan, this is all the blessings of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala. That's part of that. So that is flowing through Dawat-e-Islami. That is the, it's really the heart and soul of Dawat-e-Islami, the thought, the phenomenon of Imam Ahmad Raza rahmatullahi ta'ala. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us always steadfast on that. Stay tuned for the next episode. We'll inshallah will bring a different aspect of the service to science for Imam rahmatullahi ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Imam Ahmad Raza, with logic's eye and heart's pure light, he navigated truth through day and night. With logic's eye and heart's pure light, he navigated truth through day and night.